Well, it's nearly a done deal. The House passed it last night. The Senate is expected to approve the debt ceiling plan today, and the president is expected to sign it once it gets to his desk, and that's what you'd expect. I mean, he spent hours and hours in closed-door meetings and press conferences and addresses to the nation. The president put in the work on this debt ceiling deal, but some listeners are disappointed with the results.
Tom from Seabright, New Jersey. Obama caved in to the plutocracy again. He gave the rich what they wanted. He didn't push back at all, and he's hurting the average person. He shouldn't be president.
That's one of our listeners who called 8778-MY-TAKE, and we want to get your reaction as well. But joining us now is Jim Warren, columnist for the Chicago News Cooperative and our partner, the New York Times, and a national correspondent for The Atlantic. And I take it your message for somebody like Tom from Seabright, New Jersey, is get over it.
Yeah, I think Tom, listening to him, I think he thought maybe he was electing Jesus, when really he was sort of getting more like Moses, somebody leading a somewhat unruly group, some of them slaves to the past, to maybe a different and better world. And I think a lot of folks like him may have been all along sort of projecting a certain set of values on a guy, which really sort of run counter to who he really is. And just look at some of the history in Chicago and in the Illinois legislature, and you see a much more pragmatic guy willing to cut deals to achieve certain ends than I think most folks assume.
So Jim Warren, writes for the Chicago News Cooperative, the New York Times, and The Atlantic, a busy man. People, as you say, there were a number of people. It's not just Tom in Seabright, New Jersey. A lot of people thought they were electing somebody who would be left of center. If as you're saying, he was always a pragmatist, a centrist, and a compromiser all the way back to the beginning of his political career, what made everyone think they were electing someone else?
Well, because there were a whole lot of issues here in his past. I mean, remember the key declaration against the war in Iraq. That certainly was a left of center position. When you look at some of the issues which he rather valiantly pursued in the state legislature, even if he was seeking to cut lots of deals to achieve. Then they were pretty nervy things that not many folks were all that interested in, such as doing away with the death penalty, and in one particular issue, videotaping interrogations of homicide suspects, also the issue of racial profiling. So there were a whole set of values that generally you might also put under the heading of, as in his community organizing days, of sort of giving power to the powerless, that were part and parcel of certainly a man on the left. But I think a lot of the tactics which were embedded in him and reflexive, and which one has seen in the last couple of months, were missed by a lot of people. Hmm.
And we're still in Iraq, and Obama has escalated the war in Afghanistan with the anticipation of a drawdown eventually. Jim Warren, columnist for the Chicago News Cooperative, as a law professor at the University of Chicago, then is Barack Obama more like a corporate lawyer or more like the community activist lawyer type in the way he's projecting in the White House?
Well, I'd say tactically, John, more like the community activist sitting maybe in the church basement with these folks with 16, 17 different points of view and trying to figure out what the commonality might be. I wrote this piece for the Atlantic last week about that modus operandi, and a couple of the most interesting responses I got were from the two guys who were arguably his most important mentors in his community organizing days here. One guy, a fellow named Gerald Kelman, who surfaces in Obama's first book under a pseudonym. He's the Jewish organizing mentor of Obama. And they said, yeah, that's the guy we know. Yeah.
Yeah, but how, Jim Warren, how does this help or hurt him? Here's a take from one of our listeners who, it sounds like, is afraid all of this backlash against Obama from his own party is going to hurt him in 2012. Take a listen.
This is Bill from Miami. It never ceases to amaze me when people who consider themselves progressives are so angry at the compromises made that they say next time they're not going to vote for President Obama. Right, so next time you don't vote and you'll get a Republican president. then see how you feel.
So, I mean, what do you think, Jim? How is all this compromising, which many people are think is taking him more and more and more towards the right, going to help him or hurt him in the next election?
Well, you know, from the safety of being, you know, I don't know, around 650, 700 miles away from the District of Columbia, my first sense is that a lot of folks in D.C., especially in the media, need to kind of step back and get a grip. I think out here so far, many don't really understand what's played out, what's in the deal, how it impacts them, if at all, and just have this kind of visceral sense of a giant bipartisan incompetent mess, meaning perhaps a pox on both their houses. So, you know, you might be nervous if you're, you know, one of that minority of congressmen or actually in a vaguely competitive district next year, whether you're Republican or Democrat, you know, maybe you have reason to be nervous. Now, in your case of Obama, I think you're first and foremost nervous, guys, because of the reality of the electoral map. Less because of this. I mean, you look around this area, you know, you won Indiana, you know, Colorado, Virginia, North Carolina. Those things are now in the hands of Republicans. And if I'm, you know, David Axelrod, who's back in Chicago trying to, you know, orchestrate some of the reelection, that is what makes me most nervous. As far as what happens in the campaign, if I'm him, I just sort of, you know, attempt to somewhat demagogue what's happened here, point the fingers at the Republicans, you know, for not, you know, wanting to raise taxes on the rich, bring up the stuff about yachts, and I think that that you know might be you know.
Well, let's extrapolate. I mean, you are right down the road from campaign headquarters there in Chicago. You mentioned Axelrod's office is there in Chicago. What are voters going to remember more, the Osama bin Laden raid, or are they going to remember this?
Well, I think, you know, a year from now, they look around and see whether they got a job, first and foremost, and see whether, you know, their view of Obama is perhaps overridden by their sense that the folks in charge of one key chamber in Congress, the Republicans, are the guys who have messed this up. And, you know, I think, you know, Obama can very easily exploit that. And then there's the question, against whom? Who's he running against?
Yeah, and the other question for me is, before 2012, are we going to see any issue on which he doesn't compromise, in which we finally see Obama really digging in his heels? Jim Warren, columnist for Chicago News Cooperative and our partner, The New York Times, national correspondent for The Atlantic. We want to get your take on this as well. Is Obama the compromiser a disappointment? Did you think you were electing, in Jim Warren's words, Jesus and not Moses? Give us a call at 8778-MY-TAKE, or you can post your comment to thetakeaway.org. Jim Warren, thanks so much.
See you guys.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.